Thank you, Steve. I want to reiterate the welcome from Rob this morning. Certainly, all of our members, great to see you, and those of our visitors were cherished to have you with us, and we appreciate you being here and welcome you back at any time it's convenient. Ask you a question this morning. How many of you know an individual who has trouble hearing? Now, I'm not talking about someone who has hearing aids or someone who has challenges with their hearing. I'm talking about individuals who have problems hearing when it's not convenient. Maybe spouses. The worst word in my vocabulary for Linda is huh or what, particularly if it's a honey-do list. What about coworkers? You ask them to help, and all of a sudden, what do you need, really? I don't understand. Parents, do our children have challenges hearing? Yeah, just a little bit, particularly when it's not convenient. You see, human beings have a challenge hearing, and it's called selective hearing. So, like, I hear what I want to hear. But my friends, I want to tell you this morning that we have a spiritual challenge with selective hearing today. And it's not something that has just come up. It's been throughout history. But we know that we have a selective hearing problem when it comes to God's Word. Think about for a second just those who ignore or selectively hear what they want to hear out of God's Word. We know what happens. Think about today. We have doctrinal issues in the Lord's church. David brought up a number of them in class this morning. Whether it be instrumental music, marriage, divorce. There's things that you would have never even thought about 50 years ago that are cropping up in the church. We know that there is a selective hearing problem spiritually because there's over 500 different denominations in the world today. How can you read this, brothers and sisters, and get 500 different understandings from it? It's not possible. It's not possible. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6 says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith." Underline that. One faith. One baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. My friends, you cannot read God's Word and not understand how seriously God takes our hearing of His Word. Now, let's talk about the word "hear" for just a minute. It appears 25 times in the book of Deuteronomy. Once it refers to hearing someone else who is speaking, and that's in chapter 13, verse 12. Once it refers to hearing in regards to the actions of others. Once it is used to refer to God's hearing the voice of Judah. But in all other instances, all 22 instances there, it has reference to mankind hearing God's Word. And 5 of those times, it's reflected when it says, "Hear, O Israel." Hear, O Israel. It's always been incumbent upon us to hear God's Word correctly. Hearing God's Word is not limited to an audible recognition, but to understanding and obedience. My friends, let me just give you an example. When I was preaching full time, I had a lady that came up to me after services one morning, and she says, "Chuck, you preach exactly the way I like preachers to preach." And I'm sitting there thinking, okay, where are we going with this? She goes, "You keep it 30 minutes or less." Brothers and sisters, what was she hearing out of God's message? We need to be serious about hearing and understanding, it includes obedience and understanding. When Moses cried, "Hear, O Israel," he was calling upon them to give attention to focus, to understand, to remember, and to obey the Word of God, because it was something that he had given to them that had been given to him by God. Does that sound familiar today? We've been given this by God. The inspired writers gave us this. And it is for us to utilize, to understand who God is, to reflect on who God is, and to understand what He desires for us and to be obedient. Wise man in Proverbs 8:33 says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it." Well, what does that mean? Hear instruction and be wise, don't disdain it. He's saying, when you hear God's word, when you hear His instruction, don't put it off. Accept it and be obedient to it. Hosea said in Hosea 4:1, "Hear the word of the Lord." Again, a call from all times for us to understand what God's word is for us. And then on the Mount of Transfiguration, Luke records for us, a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my son, my chosen." What did it say about him? "Hear ye him." God's telling the people, "This is my son. He is bringing the message from me to you. Hear him." Well, is that call just to listen to what Jesus had to say? No. The call was to hear his word, accept it, or understand it, accept it, and be obedient to it. And that's the same call, brothers and sisters, for us today. And then David referenced the churches of Asia this morning in class. To each of the seven churches, Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." Well, what he's telling them is, what I'm saying to you, to each of these churches, is important. And you need to recognize it. And you need to, where there are changes that need to be made, you need to make them. Because if you don't make them, I'm going to take your candlesticks away from you. If we won't hear correctly, brothers and sisters, I would submit to you this morning that we can't know God. If I'm not willing to read this word, understand it, and be obedient to it, I don't know who God is. And I would submit to you that Romans 11:22 tells us that we need to consider the goodness and the severity of God. David mentioned in class this morning, the thinking of so many denominations is, God is good. Well, yeah, God is good. But have you read the Old Testament? God has a severe disdain for sin. And for those who continue in sin, He will not accept them. And if you're not accepted by God, brothers and sisters, your eternal destination is not going to be one that's pleasant. Because you're going to be in the fires of hell. God doesn't want that. That's why He gave us this. He says, you can know me. You can know what I want of you. And I can tell you that while the travels may not be easy, guess what? I am always with you. I'm always with you. Can you imagine that? God being with us. If God be for us, who can be against us? My friends, we need to cement that in our hearts because that will help us in our desire and our ability to understand who God is. If we don't hear correctly, we can't have the faith that was talked about in Ephesians 4. And we're going to visit that subject more in just a second. If we don't hear correctly, guess what? We're not going to obey. We're not going to obey because we're not going to take what God says here seriously. We're going to have the attitude of so many people of, oh, a good and loving God is not going to send anyone to hell. Well, my friends, have you read Matthew? He says, in that day, I will part those of good and those of evil. Those of evil, I'm going to say what? Depart, I never knew you. And those that are of the faith, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. My friends, God loves us. He loves everyone. But do not think that just because He loves us all, that He will not discipline us in that day of judgment, because He says He will. If we don't hear correctly, if we won't hear correctly, we cannot please God. If we don't know what God wants us to do in our lives, if we don't understand how He wants us to live, how He wants us to conduct ourselves, my friends, how are we going to please Him? We can't. And if we won't hear correctly, not only will we not do those things that have already been listed, but we will not spend eternity in heaven. If we won't hear God correctly, hear the word, understand, and be obedient to it, there is no chance that we're going to spend eternity in heaven with God. Why is hearing the word of God so important? Well, first of all, let's think about Romans 10:17. So then, faith comes by what? Hearing. Hearing what? Hearing by the Word of God. My friends, there is no other way that we are going to be pleasing to God, understand His Word, if we do not immerse ourselves in God's Word. That's the only place that faith comes from. Faith does not come by osmosis. Okay? Faith does not come by a priest telling you what he thinks the Bible has to say. And can I tell you what he has to say is incorrect? Almost every time. Faith does not come by our feelings. Faith does not come by anything, but by hearing, and it's hearing only the Word of God. When we think about the word hearing, it comes from the Greek word akoi. And it means hearing that goes with receiving faith from God, such as we talked about in Romans 10:17. But it also is a spiritual hearing, meaning that we are discerning God's voice. It also is to perceive, become aware, conscious of something, and come to realize or understand what God desires of us. It also means instruction. Specifically, the preaching of the gospel, detailed information telling how something should be done, a direction or order. My friends, is that not what we do when we study God's Word? We get instruction. We understand the orders, the law that we live under, and that God tells us how we are to live our lives. If we were left all to our own understanding, and if we were left all to our own discernment, and we were all left to determining how we live our lives, what would we have? Chaos. Chaos in the Lord's church. God gives us instruction, how to live, how to do. And it's what we need to be obedient to. Notice, again, we talk about that faith only comes from the Word of God, from hearing God's Word. Why is faith essential? Well, Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith it's what? Difficult? Hard? No. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Have you ever known anybody that it is impossible to please? Okay. But what we're hearing here is without the faith, the proper faith, it's impossible to please God or to be well-pleasing to Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek after him. My friends, we live in a world where so many people have a challenge believing that God is. And yet we as Christians, we read Romans, and we can go outside and we can see the beauty of creation. Can we not? You know, one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life, Linda and I were with her parents on the island of Hawaii. And we were so far out from any given city. No lights. And at night you saw the moon and the stars and all the different planets. My friends, that's God's creation. How else do we think it got there? A Big Bang? Well, my friends, a Big Bang is how we were created. There is no reason that Big Bangs would not continue on and on and on and on and on and on. There would have been nothing to stop them. God created in 6 days the beauty of earth, the beauty of the world, the beauty of all that we see. And then he rested. And part of what he created on day six was man in his image. And then for man, he created woman. And what was his desire for Adam and Eve? Be faithful. Understand the instruction that I give you. What did he say to them? Of all of the garden, you have free reign. You can eat of anything. But in the center of the garden, the tree that discerns good and evil, you are not to eat of. And all it took was Satan coming in the form of a serpent and says, oh no, God doesn't mean that. My friends, learn about the severity and the goodness of God. Adam and Eve understood the severity of God when they were taken from the Garden of Eden. And I would say that their life was not pleasant. Their life was not easy. God's not saying our life's going to be easy, but what he's saying is that what I give to you here in this life-giving water of his word will allow you to rest easy in your mind that regardless of what goes on in this life, I have a beautiful home in heaven created for me. Jesus said in John 14, I have gone to what? Create a mansion. Build a mansion for us. That we will be able to abide in forever and ever. Praising God at all times. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Again, the word translated assurance means a foundation or in the abstract, something that gives confidence. God exists. What gives me confidence in that statement? Well, we already talked about it. The creation, what we see around us. What I see this morning are individuals made in God's image. It's reality of something, a person or a nature, such as is found in Hebrews 1:3. And it's the opposite of something imaginary. Something imaginary. Let me think. Oh, Big Bang. Isn't that something imaginary? Give me proof. Give me proof, and they can't give me proof. Oh, we've dug and we've dug and we found that it's billions and billions of years old. No, no, you don't understand the science of dating. God created, and we have proof that we can provide to those. Again, I would encourage you to read Romans 1. Faith then is the foundation of which Christianity is built. If there is no faith, my friends, there is no ability to have or to be a Christian. Because I am not going to do the things that God has commanded of me for the right reasons. Faith is, according to Hebrews 11, I'm sorry, is that a little small? Sorry. Faith is rational. By faith we understand that the universe is not self-existent. Rather, it was created by a creator. It was designed by a designer. Anybody who's an architect will tell you that I can't just draw a building and then throw it out the window and all of a sudden it's going to be built. That's imaginary. Right? That's imaginary. But God spoke into existence all that we see. Faith also is not just rational, but it depends upon revelation. God in history has given us witnesses. He's warned and He's called us. Again, man does not intuitively know how to serve God. But the Lord's spoken. He's told us how to serve Him. He's not left us of our own device, of our own choosing. He has told us that we are to follow that what is given to us in the Holy Scriptures. Again, hearing it, applying it, and then being obedient to it. Faith is also trusting our Maker. I want you to think about this for just a second. When Noah was told that there was going to be a great flood, we know from Scripture that there had not been what up to that point in history? Rain falling from the sky. Noah, you're going to build a great ark. And you're going to gather two of all and put it in this ark. And then you and your family are going to be in there. And I'm going to close the doors and there's going to be a great flood. Talk about a huh moment. What, a flood? Water from the sky? But did Noah question God? No. He built to the specifications that God told him to build. And I also want you to think about this, my friends, because you think about things that shake our faith. Think about we're standing strong and somebody embarrasses us for it or somebody is mean to us about it, or anything that would shake our faith, okay? For over 100 years, Noah was doing what? Building this ark. Now, do the Scriptures not tell us that man at that point in time was evil? So as Noah's building this ark for over 100 years, can't you just imagine that the people around him were so nice? Oh, Noah, that's a pretty boat. Oh, Noah, that's really good craftsmanship. Oh, Noah, I really want to go over a ride on that. No! Those people were continuing to be evil. Continuing to doubt why Noah was doing what he was doing and continuing to criticize and I would even dare to venture there are probably some physical things going on that would cause Noah to be concerned or scared. But we see the faith that Noah had. Building the ark, finishing the ark, getting on the ark, and when he and his family came off the ark, they were the only ones there. My friends, Noah had a faith that comes from trusting our Maker. My friends, when we read the Word of God, we can have a faith because we trust our Maker. We trust that God never lies. We trust that God's promise is that for those who are obedient, I have created a home for you in heaven and you will spend all eternity with me. Now, things are not necessarily going to go great on earth. We've never been promised easiness on earth. But again, we trust our Maker. If God be for us, who can be against us? Faith is an action word. Oh, boy, you get into some discussions with people about this. Oh, no, faith is just a feeling. Faith is just a thought. No, brothers and sisters, faith is an action word. If I have faith in something, I do what brings me to showing that faith, right? Faith, we see, is not an entertainment idea or merely a mental condition, as we've stated here. But Hebrews 11 reveals that faith, in order to be valid, must be acted upon. Again, we talked about Noah. But by faith, we see that Abel offered a sacrifice, right? And he had to offer the correct sacrifice in order to be pleasing to God. We see again that Noah prepared an ark. Abraham obeyed the Lord. Let's talk about faith there. Boy, Abraham, your only son, the son that you have prayed for, I'm going to ask you to sacrifice him. Do the scriptures ever say that Abraham argued with God about that request? No. The scriptures show that Abraham obeyed God. He took Isaac, and as they went to worship, Isaac asked, "Where's the sacrifice?" Very quickly found out it was him. Anywhere in Scripture where we see that Isaac argued with his father, tried to run away, tried to fight? No. His understanding was the same as his father. I trusted the Lord God. Abraham's faith came from the fact that he knew that God, in this request, would bring Isaac back to him. Because he said in Scripture, when we come back. Isaac had been trained to have that same faith. Friends, we lose 70 to 80% of our children, if not more, by the time they leave high school in the Lord's church. 7 or 8 of every 10 souls that have been trained up in the Lord's Word will not continue on when they leave home. Brothers and sisters, we've got to instill in our children the faith of Isaac, the faith of Abraham, the faith of Noah, the faith of Abel. Because souls are being lost, and they are so hard to get back once they're lost. Faith discriminates. It chooses the scripture over the material, the eternal over the temporal. Again, you think all through the scripture of individuals who chose God over what was offered in the world. Moses being one. What about Jesus in Matthew 4 when he's tempted? His final statement is, "Get ye behind me, Satan." My friends, what this world has to offer is nothing compared to the eternal home that God has promised us in heaven. And that's what we need to keep our focus on. You see, faith allows us to, without seeing God, angels, or heaven, we can act with a confidence that they exist. Now, don't ask me to talk about angels. I don't understand them very well. And I don't know that we do today, how angels work today, if they work today. Okay? But I know they exist. Why? Because the scriptures give me examples of things that they have done throughout history. You know, you have individuals who say, well, Jesus was just a myth. Or Jesus was this, or Jesus was that. Well, let me ask you this. In history, generally, when something needed to be validated or confirmed. History demanded a number of witnesses of what? Two? Three? Do you know scriptures tell us that over 500 individuals saw Jesus Christ after his crucifixion? Jesus Christ existed. Jesus Christ was God's Son. Jesus Christ started his ministry on this earth, and it culminated with him being crucified on the cross in such a horrific manner. All for us. And we know that he was raised from the dead. Because one, scripture tells us. And two, because we have faith that comes from the Word of God. So this morning, my friends, I have to ask, what kind of hearer are you? Because see, and if you get nothing else out of this sermon this morning, I want you to think about this. Whoever stands in this pulpit has a commitment to preach the whole counsel of God. We are to bring the truth, not my thoughts, not my feelings, not my suppositions. I am to bring the truth of God's Word and nothing else. If you get someone in a pulpit who starts preaching words of men, get them out. Because they will destroy souls. So the speaker has a responsibility to bring the truth of God's Word to you. But my friends, at some point, the responsibility now becomes yours of what are you going to do with it. And as we look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, Jesus here is relating a parable of the sower. And it talks about four different types of soil. And we're going to talk about this for just a few minutes. And can I say to you this morning, my friends, that of the four different types of soil, every one of you is one of those types of soil. Every one of us is one of those types of soil. And as we look at this parable and we understand what Jesus is saying, we've got to understand which one are we. And of the four, there's only one that's good. There's a couple other that have potential, but there's only one that we're commanded to be in order to be pleasing to God. So if you would, let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verses 4 through 8 this morning. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and a great multitude were gathered together to him, so that he got into the boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell upon good ground, and yielded a crop, some 100, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus said, understand what I'm saying to you. Understand the four soils that I'm talking about relate to the condition of your heart. Which one are you? And if you're not the one that I've talked about last, you need to make changes. You see, the seed, as we look at this parable, is, we've been told in Luke 8:11 and other passages, the Word of God. And it contains life-giving words that we must be obedient to. So in the natural course of work, And this is what you have to learn about Jesus' parables. Every parable that he gave was something that the individuals around him could relate to. They understood it because of day-to-day life, right? So, in the natural course of the work of the sower, it was inevitable the seed would fall into various types of soil. So that's, again, what he's relating to them. And so the four types here we want to talk about, again, relate to the condition of their heart, but also to our heart. First one is the wayside soil. Again, the passage says some of the seed fell by the wayside. Contacts made with the seed, all right? But because the soil is so hard, the penetration's not made. My friends, there are so many people that have a heart hardened like this soil, that when you bring them the seed, the Word of God, it cannot, will not penetrate because they don't want it to. Right? The hardness, again, represents the disposition to not believe. And again, I go back to, how can you not believe in God? All the proof that we've been given, how could you not believe in God? But the person is simply not interested in the gospel of Christ. Their heart is hardened to the truth. And we saw this happen in the Old Testament, right? Someone by the name of Pharaoh, his heart was hardened, right, to the truth. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. So my friends, we need to understand that that condition exists, and I can tell you, some people exist in the church, right? Now, they may still come, but they're usually the first to criticize. They're usually the first to walk out the door, or they're usually the ones who disappear and we see them no more. And my friends, could I make a plea to you this morning? That when we have members of this body who we don't see anymore, we don't simply mark them off the membership list. We got to reach out to them and try to help restore their soul. Why are the possible reasons for this hardness of heart? Well, Proverbs 16:18 tells us that pride is a cause for some to resist. Again, the Jews were a prime example of that, right? They didn't want a spiritual king. They wanted what? An earthly king. They wanted to be dominant. Well, I think oftentimes our hardness of heart comes from the fact that we want to be dominant in this world. In whatever fashion we think that of, we want to be dominant in this world. My friends, dominance in this world equates to your soul being lost. Some have other idols which will not allow a place for God. David talked about it in class this morning. I know individuals who are members of the Lord's Church that when Dallas Cowboy football season comes, guess where they're at on Sunday? It's not worshiping God. Oh, they'll say, oh, well, we had a service out in the parking lot. Really? Really? I've been to those parking lots and generally there's not much godly going on there. Some have a fear of giving up things of this world. I don't want to give up things. What was the rich young ruler? What was his problem? He had much. And he didn't want to give it up. He didn't want to give it up. Worldliness is a hindrance to too many. They like the things of the world, right? I can be the perfect example of a Christian sitting on this pew on Sunday, and how many of you have a clue what I do Monday through Saturday? Right? The world may be too much for me. I may give in to the... I don't talk about this a whole lot, but there was a time in the early 90s where I was traveling somewhere around 75-80% of the time. I grew up as an elder's child. Didn't drink, didn't smoke, didn't do drugs, didn't do any, you know, didn't dance, didn't do any of the things that we knew were wrong. But let me tell you, after 3 years of traveling 70-80% of the time with people who have no morals, I gave in. And I drank and I drank and I drank and I drank for 18 months. That's my life. Oh, I was a good actor. Linda had no clue. But Monday through Friday, when I was on the road where I didn't see anybody that I knew, it overtook me. You know what brought me back? Picking this up and starting to read about what I was going to miss in that day. Thinking about the example I was to others. See, we have an opportunity in life to either influence others or be influenced by others. If we influence others, we have an opportunity to teach them the truth. We have an opportunity to save souls if we allow others to influence us. Guess what? Not only will we not help bring souls to Christ, we have a great opportunity to lose our own. Hearing God's word has to allow it to penetrate our heart. And then there are some that are blinded by Satan to the gospel. Again, we see an example of this in 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. But it is accelerated by their own hardness of heart. Right? You know, we talk about people looking for things in the Scripture to justify the way they're living. This happens here. This happens here. Oh, you don't believe that either? Oh, yeah, well, you know, I can show you a scripture why I don't believe it. Right? What about the second kind of soil, the rocky soil? Some of the seed fell upon the stony soil. Again, this soil stands for those who hear and understand the word, but only on an emotional or a superficial level. My friends, I hate to say that I have known way too many people like this. They don't delve in this is they don't delve into this, but all that they get is what they hear from the pulpit or from the class, right? And they take the bits that they want to and fit it into their way of life. Okay? This type of heart is quite receptive to the word. Again, Matthew 13:20 says, it's straightway with joy that receiveth it. But the problem is the heart is not mature enough to produce anything of lasting value. Okay? And again, we're not saying anything bad about this individual that has this type of heart. But they need to understand context. Right? They need to understand the complete picture. Right? And the sacrifice that was made for us and the sacrifice that's being asked of us. The results come in quick, eager conversion and correspondingly rapid falling away because no one thought to the cost that's given in obeying the gospel. You know, as a kid growing up, you would go to, I never went, but kids would go to church camps. Kids would go to youth rallies. This, that, and the other. And, oh boy, the speaker. Man, charismatic. Oftentimes, this might as well have been a coloring book for him. Right? But The kids were so moved. Oh, I love God. I want to serve God. I want to be baptized. And they are. And we rejoice. And they get back in the world. And I have to say this. We have got to start doing a better job when individuals come up out of the waters of baptism of embracing them, not for the moment, but for an extended period of time to help them grow. Too often they come up in the waters of baptism and boom, they're out the door. And it's like, oh, got another one. Check it off. My friends, that's not what it's about. It's about building individuals who are productive in the kingdom and can withstand the wiles of Satan. This heart, by its very nature, doesn't allow the word to take root because it has no stability. No stability. Have you ever known anyone who what they think is based upon the last person they talk to? This is what we're talking about here. This is what we're talking about here. What about the thorny soil? Some of the seed fell among the thorns. Well, the thorny soil represents the hearer who clearly has the capacity to bear fruit. They have the ability to do good. The heart's open to the truth and deep enough and fertile enough for the truth to take root and grow. But this heart, however, is also full of powerful distractions. It may be work, it may be home, it may be family. And again, I will submit for an example this morning, how many individuals can hold to the truth until a family member goes wayward? And I can kind of see where they're going, what they're doing, Error is error. No matter who commits it. And we need to be committed to bringing them back to God's Word. The heart, however, is full of powerful distractions. And this chokes out the existence of God's Word. You see, the problem is that they allow spiritual and eternal concerns to be subordinated by the things of the world. Those things just inundate me. I can't think about God. I can't think about heaven. I can't think about the body because I have all these challenges. See, God's Word and the good which it's capable of producing is relegated to second place in this person's life. And then, finally, Jesus talks about the good soil. This is honest and good heart. The honesty is manifested in a sincere reception of the truth. I want to know what God wants me to do. I don't want to do anything against God. Right? That brings the repentance that God talks about. Changing our lives to live for Him. Note the actions of the honest and good heart. It hears and understands the word, Matthew 13:23. It hears and accepts the word, Mark 4:20. It hears and holds fast the word, Luke 8:15. It bears fruit and it produces, Matthew 13:23. And Luke adds that he hears the word with a noble and good heart. He doesn't stop there. And he keeps it and bears fruit with patience. My friends, we live in a fast food society. We want everything in life to be given to us through a drive-up window, right? With that same speed. And hopefully the order is more accurate than it usually is at the restaurants. Okay? But that's not how living a life for God works. There's patience that has to be brought to the forefront in our lives, in our teaching, in our working with others. because this is not a fast track life. The soil produces in varying quantities. Again, Matthew 13:23 says some bears 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Notice how this passage says none of them bear zero. All of us need to be producing. And my friends, not all of us have the same talents. Right? But as a child of God, let me submit to you this morning that every one of us has talents. And they need to be utilized as spreading the gospel and to living for God. My friends, hearing God, we have to be the right kind of hearers. If we're not the right kind of hearers, my friends, it does us no good. We're wasting our time. There's no salvation apart from the life-giving words of Jesus Christ. I don't care what someone in Rome tells you. Obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only way to have eternal life. But the seed has no power unless it's sown and is allowed to take root. See, we have a responsibility in this pulpit to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. But the hearers of the word must become responsible for obeying the word. I can't force you. God is not going to force us. He gives us free moral agency to make our choices. But understand, the choices you make have consequences. Is that not true in life? Everything that we do, every choice that we make, there's consequences associated. And when you think consequences, we're not just talking negative. Consequences are good too, right? But if we don't allow God's word to penetrate our heart, to penetrate our existence, it's going to be a difficult way. You know, James chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters. And in that passage, in verses 19 through 25, James says, "Know this, my beloved brethren, but let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding your own selves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goes away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But he that looketh into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and so continue, being not a hearer that forgetteth, but a doer that worketh, this man shall be blessed in his doing." Friends, our faith has to have action. Our faith has to be a doing faith. Because if we are not doing God's word, we're going to forget who we are as a Christian. There's going to be nothing there to remind us. But in doing what God commands us to do, calls us to do, it constantly reminds us that we are doing this to the glory of God, not the glory of self, but to the glory of God. When one is serious about hearing the Bible as God's word, they're committing themselves to a life of dramatic change. And for some people, we talked about this, for some people that's too much. For some people it's overbearing, they can't handle it. But my friends, whether you're baptized this morning or whether you're just or whether you've been baptized and you're struggling in life, maybe not struggling in life, but it's just a helpful reminder. Are you ready to submit your life to God's will this morning? And be ready to make dramatic changes where you need to. Because if you're not, my friends, what's the purpose for you here? You're not obedient to it. One of my favorite passages And I don't know why, it just is. Matthew 27. When Jesus is hung on the cross, passage talks about in the ninth hour that as he is taking on the sins of the world, and we know God can't have anything to do with sin, Christ calls out, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" Well, my friends, if we're not going to be a hearer of God's word, can I submit to you this morning that it should be us that's saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have I forsaken you?" But the beauty of God is that he always has that door open for us to come home. And my friends, he desires you to come home. I don't care what you've done in your life. God says, "I will wash away the sins of your life and remember them no more." Boy, talk about a burden being lifted. Talk about a burden being lifted. My friends, this morning, you have that opportunity. God calls on you to come, recommit your life to him. And my friends, you have individuals here this morning that will embrace you and help you, because I guarantee you they've had the same struggles you're dealing with. None of us are perfect. All of us struggle. And the desire is that this body, led by this eldership, will be marching through the gates of heaven in that day. Are you going to be a part of that? Do you want to be a part of that? It's for your heart to decide. But your opportunity now is to come. If you have challenges, if you have sin in your life, come as